live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and I welcome you. Today, it is about talk back, meaning that this hour has no guest, no commentaries, no in-depth investigative reporting. Rather, we set this hour aside each week so you can call in and share your thoughts, comments, questions on the issues you find important. Our number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And when calls start coming in, I'll go right over to them. I'm going to begin today by giving you some updated information on, once again, why we should be very careful about the food we eat, specifically why we should only eat certified organic produce. There was a time, pre-1996, where we didn't have to really worry about genetically modified organisms in our food. Today, they are ubiquitous. Here is the latest. This is from a major review in a scientific journal called Entrophy, and the review's title is Glyphosate Suppression of Cytochrome P450 Enzymes, an amino acid biosynthesis by the gut microorganisms, Pathways to Modern Disease. Now, here's, normally I wouldn't give you a scientific article, but I think it's necessary. I'll quote the abstract. Glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, is the most popular herbicide used worldwide. The industry asserts it is minimally toxic to human, but here we argue otherwise. Residues are found in the main foods of the Western diet, comprised primarily of sugar, corn, soy, and wheat. Glyphosate inhibition of cytochrome P450 enzymes is an overlooked component of its toxicity to mammals. CYP enzymes play a crucial role in biology, one of which is to detoxify xenobiotics. Thus, glyphosate enhances the damaging effects of other food-borne chemical residues and environmental toxins. The negative impact on the body is insidious and manifests slowly over time as inflammation damages cellular systems throughout the body. Here we show how interference with CBP enzymes acts synergistically with disruption of the biosynthesis of aromatic amino acids by gut bacteria, as well as impairment in serum sulfate transport. Consequences are most of the diseases and conditions associated with the Western diet, which include gastrointestinal disorders, obesity, diabetes, heart disease, depression, autism, infertility, cancer, and Alzheimer's disease. We explain the documented effects of glyphosate and its ability to induce disease, and we show that glyphosate is, quote, a textbook example of the entropy, the disruption of homeostasis by environmental toxins, end quote. What this means in lay language is that what people have been spraying on their lawns for a long time, and what is sprayed on our crops, what is used in almost all of the corn and soy and other crops, is extremely damaging to our biochemistry. But here then is the issue. On the one hand, we have an industry whose only concern is profits and greater share of value in the stock by the company, so that more people want to buy their stock and hold their stock. There have been no studies whatsoever on the long-term effects on humans in the gut of this particular pesticide. As a result, we are using our bodies as if we were human guinea pigs. Unfortunately, we do not have, at the policymaking level, at the EPA, for Health and Human Services, for the National Cancer Institute, or the FDA, or the CDC, anyone on our side. They have all been compromised by the major big agribusinesses. As a result, we are told that there's a cost-benefit ratio. The cost is our health. The benefit is their profits. This is not going to change. There are simply too many thousands of embedded bureaucrats and technocrats coached and monitored and influenced by lobbyists, supported by for-hire scientists willing to sell and use their pedigree, their credentials, to convince the public, as talking heads on television, that we have no concern. We do have concern. And this is the issue that you have to come to grips with. Do you trust the government and its agents when time and again they have been always on the wrong side of history and the wrong side of reality? A few examples. They claimed DDT was safe and effective. It was not. They claimed that artificial sweeteners were good and not harmful. They were wrong. They claimed that synthetic hormone replacement therapy would prevent cardiovascular disease in postmenopausal women. It has increased it. They said not to worry. As a result, 10 million women use synthetic hormone replacement therapy on a daily basis. There is at least a 13% adverse effect rate. The adverse effects? Heart attack, stroke, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colorectal cancer, and brain abnormalities, including dementia. Now, 13% means that 1.3 million women's bodies are being sacrificed and put at risk simply for the profits of an industry. You would think that this would have been banned. It has not been. Once again, it's clear that the government and its policies are not on our side. Adding to this is a new report by Catherine Paul and Ronnie Cummings of the Organic Consumer Association. I'll read it. It's called Frankenapple. Thanks to the biotech industry's relentless quest to control our food, McDonald's, Burger King, and even school cafeterias will soon be able to serve up apples that won't turn brown when they're sliced or bitten into. A new, almost entirely untested genetic modification technology called RNA interference, or double-strand RNA, is responsible for this new food miracle. Scientists warn that this genetic manipulation poses health risks as the manipulated RNA gets into our digestive systems and bloodstreams. The biotech industry claims otherwise. Of course, like any non-organic apple, the new GMO Arctic apple will be drenched in toxic pesticide residues, untested by the USDA, and unlikely to be labeled. And of course, these shiny new high-tech apples will be cheap, priced considerably lower than the pesticide-free, nutrient-dense, old-fashioned organic apple that turns a little brown after you slice it. When the biotech industry organizations gathered, they claimed to have, quote, the best with this Arctic apple. And this is slated to be approved this year. We hate to upset the biotech apple cart, but a pesticide-intensive GMO apple produced through a risky manipulation of RNA doesn't deserve a place on our grocery shelves, much less in the Agriculture Hall of Fame. That said, the Arctic Frankenapple is expected to be approved, and then it goes into people's systems. Apples, that is, apples that haven't been certified organic, already on the list of should-be-forbidden fruits. This reliably topped the Environmental Working Group's Dirty Dozen list for both the volume and the stunning array of pesticides consistently found on them, meaning apples, heavily sprayed. According to the Pesticide Action Network's analysis of the most recent USDA data, apples tested positive for 42 different pesticides, including organophosphate. And these are endocrine disruptors. They have suspected neurological effects and are considered especially toxic for children. Organophosphates are the basis of nerve gases used in chemical warfare and have been linked to the development of ADHD in kids. Given the grim report card of non-organic apples, some might say it really doesn't make any difference if we start tinkering with the apple's genetic RNA. After all, unlike the case of GMO corn or salmon, scientists aren't injecting pesticides or genes from foreign plants or animals into the genes of apples to create Frankenapple. And while most existing genetically engineered plants are designed to make new proteins, the Arctic apple is engineered to produce a form of genetic information called double-stranded RNA. Now, the new double-stranded RNA alters the way genes are expressed. The result, in the Arctic apple case, is a new double strand of RNA that genetically silences the apple's ability to produce polyphenol oxidase, an enzyme that causes the apple to turn brown when it's exposed to oxygen. Harmless? The biotech industry and scientists at the USDA would say yes, harmless. But others, including Professor Jack Heineman, University of Canterbury, New Zealand, and Sarah Tenfen from Santa Catarina University in Brazil, and Judy Carman, Flinders University in South Australia, say that RNA manipulation is untested and therefore inherently risky. Recent research has shown that RNA can transfer from plants to humans and other animals through food. The biotech industry has always claimed that genetically engineered DNA and RNA is destroyed by human digestion, eliminating the danger of these mutant organisms damaging human genes or human health. But many biotech scientists say not true. The point to evidence that the manipulated RNA finds its way into our digestive systems and into our bloodstreams, potentially damaging or silencing your vital human genes. There are indirect health consequences, too. Turns out the chemical compound that is shut off in the engineering fruit through RNA manipulation in order to make it not oxidize or brown is a chemical compound that also fights off plant pests. What happens when the apple's ability to fend off insects is compromised? Growers will need to spray greater amounts of possibly even more toxic pesticides on a crop already saturated with at least 42 different types of pesticides. These pesticides will eventually find their way into your body, either because we eat the fruit, or breathe the air, or drank the water where the pesticides were sprayed. Testing? What testing? So what's the trade-off? Non-organic apple growers will prosper as more moms buy more apples for more kids who will, the industry alleges, be healthier for it. It makes for good public relations story, but no matter how you wrap it up and slice it, taking apples that are already saturated in pesticides and genetically engineering them for purely cosmetic purposes does not a healthy snack make. So, this audience, at least, is aware that we are opposed to all genetic engineering of all foods because there's been no long-term human studies at all, ever, and therefore, I don't want just another in a long litany of promises we were given and assurances made that it would not adversely affect our health, like fluoridated in the water, or mercury in our teeth, or mercury in vaccines, or aluminum in vaccines, that these are safe and effective. They are neither. We do not need them. And to add just one more point to this is an article by Fritz Kreis. And here's what he has to say. And I won't read the whole thing, but I'll give you enough of it to give you an idea of why you should be concerned. I'll quote him. If you look at the prevalence of GMOs in our food industry and government and how the genetic engineering industry itself behaves, you may find it seemingly remarkably similar to zombie apocalypse. This huge industry has been infectious to farmers, restaurants, and government officials everywhere. And while many times they are unsure about what they are doing, in the beginning it's almost impossible to get rid of such an infectious virus, such as Monsanto's GMO industry, once the whole system is infected. And considering the Monsanto Protection Act that was secretly put in to a law, I also have to wonder if they're eating our brains all along. Genetically modified organisms engineered from DNA of different species of plant, animal, bacteria, and virus genes. How many? 170 million hectares. Give you an idea, that's exactly the size of Alaska. 70% of the items in American food stores contain GMOs. 50 nations, including all of European countries, restricted or banned GMO products and sales. Our State Department then, under Hillary Clinton, used blackmail to let them know if they did not actively promote GMOs and get rid of any of those bans or concerns, there would be severe political consequences. This we found out through WikiLeaks memos from the State Department to these different embassies. Now, in the U.S., the FDA ruled GMOs not significantly different from natural occurring foods, an approval based on studies conducted only by the GMO manufacturers themselves. 87% of consumers who want foods containing GMOs to be labeled, 53% of Americans who would refuse to buy genetically modified foods. 80% of conventionally processed food contains GMOs in the United States, but they're not labeled. GMOs are manufactured for herbicide tolerance, particularly glyphosate, Roundup. Some negative effects, you bet. Glyphosate builds up in the soil and contaminates it. Weed resistant to glyphosate development, spawning super weeds. Breeds of weeds resistant to glyphosate, ryegrass found in Australia, nothing else. Six U.S. states where glyphosate-resistant weeds have been reported in the past 3 years, and a 1,500% increase in pesticide production since GMOs were introduced. Signing of Monsanto Protection Act prevents the government restrictions on GMO food found to cause health risks. Let me put this in proper perspective. Right now, based upon this law that your president signed, if it was found tomorrow that any of their GMO products caused disease, cancer, hemorrhaging, heart attacks or strokes, they would not have any court in America that had the power to yank them off the market. That is how much you've been sold out. GMOs can contaminate existing species being grown organically. GMO producers can actually sue farmers whose crops are infected by GMO contaminants for intellectual property theft, meaning you have an organic farm, but 2 miles away is a GMO farm, a bird carrying a seed drops on your property, you can be sued. And they have been, and they've gone bankrupt. The courts in America will protect the GMOs. They will not protect you. The corruption of our judiciary is palpable. We already know that our state legislators are corrupt. We know that our city council members are corrupt or biased or sociopaths. We know that the members of Congress cannot be trusted. They are the lowest of low. We know that politicians are so easily manipulated. We know that at least 45,000 people are in the halls of Congress daily, plying their lobbyists and consulting opportunities for legislators. We know that in some cases, as many as 80% of the staff of a legislator will go to work for the very industries that were receiving funds during their campaigns, meaning the politician receiving campaign funds, then their staff goes to work for them. The entire system is corrupt. That is the reality of it. It cannot be uncorrupted. The only way that I believe that we can ever make any change, since we have shown that we are not willing to support independent candidates with only about 3% of the American population voting for them, even though they stood for all the right things, from Gary Johnson to Rocky Anderson and Jill Stein and Ralph Nader, is simply stop buying their products, shopping in their stores, voting for them, putting our money in their banks, and watching them on Fox or MSNBC, or listening to them on radio. As long as we continue to support their system, we have no right to complain about the abuses that we will suffer from because we have enabled them. That is the reality. You don't have to be brilliant to understand this. If you give someone the power to make a choice for you, and they consistently make the wrong choices, and you consistently reinforce your support for them, then what right do you have to complain when they take away your home, or double-click you on in your interest, or charge you 300% interest on a payday loan, or pollute your water, or your food, or your soil, or sell you out and take away your constitutional rights, your Bill of Rights? If you're not willing to engage in constructive withdrawal from their system, then just accept what you have created. And I'm particularly concerned with The Nation magazine and others who consider themselves good Democrats and good liberals. We don't expect anything ethical or honorable ever from the corporate Republicans. These are the ultimate neocons. They've never seen a child suffer in a foreign country that they're concerned with. They've never concerned anywhere in their lives with what happens as a consequence of their policies. If you doubt me, think of Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, the displacement of people, the permanent pollution with depleted uranium of their environment. Think of the children there that have died and the suffering. And when was the last time you saw any protest in the United States, any organized protest that said this is wrong? Think of that for a moment. And so when you realize that 95% of the sugar beets, 94% of the soy, 90% of the canola, 80% of the corn in the United States is genetically engineered, if one day we wake up and we realize that there's massive problems, just like cell phones causing massive brain tumors. Just today, I got a call in my office from a mother who says she doesn't understand. She has a 16-year-old son who has brain cancer. He's never smoked. He doesn't drink. And I ask her, does he use a cell phone? He's always on the cell phone. 10 years ago, I predicted that we would start to see an increase in brain, jaw, ear cancers in the next 10 years. It is arriving right on schedule. Separately, if you're concerned about your food, here's the latest as reported from Natural Society by Elizabeth Rettner. Quote, analysis finds 55% of ground beef, 39% of chicken, all contaminated with superbugs. Quote, while you still eat the turkey burger, consider this. Would you do it if it knew it was contaminated with antibiotic-resistant bacteria? Maybe not. But if you eat turkey, there's a good chance you're ingesting some of these potentially lethal superbugs. The same holds true for beef, chicken, and pork, according to a recent analysis from the Environmental Working Group. 81% of raw ground turkey, 69% of pork chops, 55% of ground beef, raw ground beef, and 39% of raw chicken, all contaminated with superbugs. With the vast majority of U.S.-made pharmaceuticals going into livestock production, how could this possibly be? It's because the superbugs are created in part by an overuse of antibiotics. Sounds a little backwards, doesn't it? Well, bacteria are living things. They evolve and change to survive, just like humans or animals do. And to this end, when something threatens them, they adjust to build defenses. This is how powerful bacteria become impervious to potent antibiotics. Medical News Today reports that 30 million pounds of antibiotics were sold last year. And that goes into your feed. And then you eat it. And then you end up with a superbug. And then when you're rushed to the hospital and they try to help you, and the antibiotics don't work. One more reason to ask yourself, is it worth it? Is organic better? Ask the fruit fly from Tara Parker Pope. Here's what she has to say. I think it's very interesting. This is short, but it's very revealing. When Rhea Chabra, a middle school student near Dallas, heard her parents arguing about the value of organic foods, She was inspired to create a science fair project to try to resolve the debate. 3 years later, Rita's exploration of fruit flies and organic foods has not only raised some provocative questions about the health benefits of organic eating, it has also earned the 16-year-old top honors in a national science competition. Publication in a respected peer-reviewed scientific journal and university laboratories privileged, normally reserved for graduate students. The research entitled Organic Grown Food provides health benefits to the Drosophila, tracked the effects of organic and conventional diets on the health of fruit flies. By nearly every measure, including fertility, stress, resistance, longevity, flies that fed on organic bananas and potatoes fared better than those that dined on conventionally raised produce. And the research nonetheless paves the way for additional studies on the relative health benefits of organic versus conventional foods. Fruit fly models are often used in research because their short lifespan allows scientists to evaluate a number of basic biological effects over a relatively brief period of time, and the results provide clues for better understanding disease and biological processes in humans. So, fruit flies thrive on organic and don't on conventional food. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break, come back, and the rest of the show devoted to your calls. 888-874-4888. Talkback is the program today. And now it's your turn. Give us a call, please. Listening today to Talk Back, I'm Gary Nall, broadcasting video streaming live from our studio in New York City. Let's say hello to Paula from Florida. Hi, Paula.
Hey, Gary. How are you doing tonight?
Great.
That was some interesting information you just passed along. A little scary. Another scary question. During the week on Tuesday, you mentioned that you were going to talk about the feds and the assault on gold. Did I miss that during the rest of the show? Because I did not hear the follow-up on that.
No, I will be doing an in-depth analysis of why the Federal Reserve is, they're the ones responsible for $500 billion affecting gold through their quantitative easing and their buying back and their suppressing gold. But I'll go into that in depth.
Okay, but, a lot of my friends have been calling me and emailing me because they know my connection to you and the incredible information, and they're like, Paula, what's going on? So I just wanted to be able to follow up with them.
I'll just give you a brief overview.
Okay, thanks, Sari.
Normally when you have a realistic evaluation without a bubble in the stock market, people want some form of hedge. If hard assets are the issue, or currencies are the issue, or stocks are the issue. So when an economy is literally bankrupt, and ours is, if you take into count all of our debt, not just the government debt. And that's the big mistake virtually all the people, including those talking heads who are complete and blithering idiots on all the shows. They only focus upon the debt. Sean Hannity and the other uneducated individuals focus only on the federal debt. The federal debt is not the big problem. It is $16 trillion in corporate debt. It is the $7 trillion in homeowners' debt, the $1 trillion in credit card debt, the $1 trillion in student debt, the unfunded liabilities, the unfunded pensions. Most pensions in the United States means that people take a certain amount of their income every week and put it into a retirement fund. And that goes to pension managers who then try to find the greatest return for their pensioners. But frequently, these are no longer able to be funded. And as a result, when unions were making their contracts and saying we want an 8% return per year for their pensions, retirees, no one's making 8%. Cities are going bankrupt. And so you have this enormous debt, and it cannot be repaid. In California, New York, no one can repay this. It's not possible. So no one counts the unfunded entitlements, like the pensions. Now, a pension is not an entitlement as such, but it's still a debt. And under certain states, they have an ironclad contract that someone's going to have to pay these people. As a result, when you look at Medicare shortfall and Medicare, Medicaid at the state level, these cannot be sustained as is unless there's not a cutting in benefit, but rather a complete reevaluation of the system. See, here's the mistake everyone's making. Everyone is taking the lowest hanging fruit. Cut back the benefits. Well, I say that's not the approach we should take. Why don't you actually start by asking why people get sick and need Medicare and Medicaid to begin with, and start a national preventative program? That's the first thing you should do. Secondly, why don't you give no-fault health insurance to every doctor, nurse, and clinic and hospital in the United States? That is paid from the hospitals and doctors. A tiny percentage of their annual income goes into a collective pool, and then you have laws that you cannot sue someone and get a $100 million settlement because you got, you know, the wrong kidney taken out. Instead, you're given compensation equal to what you would have earned, as long as you cannot earn it, or necessary to repair and help you get back your health. If you did that, you would stop all of this defensive medicine, because right now when you go into a doctor's office, you're going to pay twice as much for everything, because they're going to do everything that they can, unnecessary test, invasive test, expensive test, simply because if they get sued, they want to show that they didn't miss a single thing to limit their liability. So if you had no fault, then you wouldn't have that. We would only be given the tests necessary. Then if a part of a program was that everyone had to get proper health teachings while in hospital and in our school system, then we would prevent at least half the diseases that we now are affected by. That's the way that you help Medicare and Medicaid, with constant public education and clinics. We should have health clinics, real health clinics, in every city in the United States. We don't have any. And as a result, we have privatized the hospitals to the point where sleeping for one night with no medical treatment, nothing, just sleeping in a hospital bed can cost you $1,400. That's what happens when we lose sight of the details within each issue. So we should have in every city in the United States money set aside that goes for public hospitals only, where no procedure can be done that is not necessary and proven necessary, and the cost should be based upon actual cost, hence no profit. If you take out all the profit within a hospital system from the testing, to the procedures, then you've dropped the cost of our medical care by about $300 billion a year. Then, that's just one example. I could go into each one of these, but behind pushing against that, the blowback is the special interest group that have the power of Congress on their side because they bought Congress, and they bought the laws, and Alec and the rest of them, to make sure that when you get sick, they profit from it. They don't make money if you stay well. It's that simple. So now, when people are not paying attention to their health, but a lot of people are, then you become a commodity, and you will be exploited to the furthest degree of commodification. So we have to take the profit out of the hospitals and medical system, and the only way we can do that is have a single-payer system. If you want a private insurance and a private hospital and private doctors, pay for it. But everyone else should have a single-payer. If you look at the single-payer systems in other countries, they spend one-third to one-fifth less than we do. And therefore, they're not going broke. The number one expense in the United States each year is not the military-industrial complex or the spy complex. That's bad enough. It's the medical-industrial complex. $3 trillion this year. You heard me right. $3 trillion. Almost $600 billion of that will be just for insurance companies and bureaucrats to process this. One more example of how bureaucracies control our lives. So you have to deal with that sooner or later. But when they're one of the largest contributors to campaigns, they're always voted on their behalf, not ours. So now what you have is you have a nation that has a debt of around $117 trillion, not 16. Our gross domestic product is about $15 trillion. Now compare that with many other countries in the world. And we're worse than Greece. We are worse than England or Ireland. And Ireland's considered the breadbasket of debt to gross domestic product in the Eurozone. So what we have to understand is that to keep this myth that we're a viable society going and growing, we first have to overlook 270 million Americans, more than two-thirds of the American population, that are living on meager savings. The average person approaching retirement today only has $25,000 in savings to get them through the rest of their life, which may be 20, 30, 40 years. It's not possible. Mm-mm. But then we have 55% of all Americans who have no savings. They have a negative 2%. We have 100 million Americans who are at just above or below the poverty level. We have almost 50 million Americans who are homeless, but you won't see them. There's only about 500,000 now currently living in shelters. The rest are couch surfing. To give you an idea, in one community in Florida, on one simple street, and I actually filmed this for my new documentary, almost every single home, a regular small 1,500-square-foot ranch house from the 1960s or 70s, has outfitted their garage, their basement, not in Florida, but their attic, so that they can bring in relatives to sleep there. The trouble is local zoning and ordinances don't allow that. These are single-family occupant homes. They would not be able to get a building permit to build a shower, bathroom, in a garage. So they have done this under the radar. But it is endemic all across the United States. Let me give just one example of someone I counseled this week. Her husband was a successful upper management banker. They lived an upper middle class existence. She was active in her community on Long Island. She supported different charities. Her children went to private schools. They then divorced. And 2 years later, he lost his job. He was not able to keep up support for the home, let alone child support. She went out to work. She found out that at age 47, she could not compete in the marketplace where kids were coming out of school with PhDs and masters, and they were getting the jobs, and she wasn't. She finally found work as a nanny at $20 an hour. She had to move, and she now lives in the attic of a small house of her parents, who are senior citizens with her two teenage daughters. And she said that she's about $18,000 in debt. And she's stressed to the max. She's gained weight, and now she has cancer. That is replaying itself 1,000 times a day in every city in the United States. But instead of showing some compassion and concern for the vast majority of Americans by forgiving their interest on all their debt, which is owned by the banks, which has been given their money for free by the Federal Reserve, and then their bad debts washed out through a form of legal money laundering, taking toxic bad assets, eliminating them with a keyboard stroke, and giving the bank hundreds of billions, in the case of Citicorp and Bank of America, over $1.2 and $1.4 trillion in transactions that were never made public. We found this out when Ron Paul and Bernie Sanders had the Fed audited 22,000 transactions, 20 corporations, 18 of which were banks, were made whole to $16 trillion. They didn't relieve a single human being of a single problem they had. Pure, unmitigated greed. Now, when you look at the reality, we are bankrupt as a nation. Individuals are not, but as a nation we are. And yet we're holding ourselves up as a standard because we have the dollar as a reserve currency. At the same time that we're doing this, we're paying no attention whatsoever to China, the fact that at the cost of its environment and the health of its people, 1.2 million Chinese dying last year because of pollution, they grew at 10% per year. They have built massive cities. They didn't pay attention to the basics. Now, half of all the water in all of China is not cleanable. They have the fastest desertification in the world. They're losing thousands and thousands of acres per day. One-fifth of all China is now desert. Within the next 5 years, one-half of China will be a desert. And they will have no drinking water that is clean or cleanable within the next 5 years. So that's what happens when you have a bunch of political ideologues who are so indoctrinated and so power hungry and so corrupt that they think growth is the only course. The other side of that is that they have been buying currencies. They're the largest buyers of gold in the world, over 940 tons of gold last year. They also produce the second amount of gold in the world. They will exceed anyone else next year and be the number one producers of gold. And they're betting that within the next 2 to 3 years, they can convince and already have other countries, major countries, to go off the dollar as the standard currency in the world, as the exchange currency, and go to a mixed currency, with their own currency being a leading part of that. I believe that that is absolutely inevitable. I also believe that if Israel, and as crazy as their policy is, and as maniacal as they are, that if they attack Iran, then that will give all this a speeded up, this will speed up the way that all this changes, including the cost of oil, which could easily go to $200 a barrel and about $12 a gallon. So what do you think is going to happen when the dollar is no longer the reserve currency? And that's going to happen. It's just when. When someone has the courage to stop taking our debt, giving us their dollars, and we give them our IOUs, which will never be redeemable. There's $6.5 to $7 trillion that we know of, and probably at least a third that more that we don't know about, that people know that they'll never get a penny back on. But it's given them favored nation trading status. It got China into the World Trade Organization. It's allowed countries to do arms shipments with us. It's allowed a lot by becoming, in effect, our trading partners. After all, it allowed China to be able to produce hundreds of thousands of products at cheap labor to ship back in to America. The same America that has lost 58,000 factories. Now imagine how many millions of jobs that is in the last 12 years. All you had to do is look and see it. One person on Wall Street makes $1,600,000 per hour. Per hour. That's how much money they make. Now ask yourself, how does a man make $1 million an hour, every hour of the day? Because he doesn't build factories, he doesn't employ people, he doesn't help people. He is adventurous in a money exchange and derivatives. That's where they're making their money on Wall Street. If anyone paid attention, Wall Street is a massive bubble. It is going to collapse. It is at least 7,000 points overvalued. And that buildup in this bubble has kept the dollar strong, and it has kept the idea that our economy is viable. It is not. We already have the desertification of America. We have the great sandstorms of the West. We have soil erosion. We have water pollution. We have infrastructure collapse. And we have corruption at every level of our society. It is endemic. We are no better than any banana republic at this time, except we pretend that we are a country of laws. We are not. You and I are held accountable to laws that corporate America, the rich, too big to be jailed, too big to try, too big to even challenge. So this leaves the gold and silver as two options in a collapsing market. As a result, if the Federal Reserve allowed gold to go to 2,000, it was 1,940 at one point, and silver to go to 50, then it would show that there is no longer a trust in the dollar. So to keep the dollar strong against the euro, which is completely bankrupt, the entire European Union is a fraud. And I believe that in the next 3 years, you will see at least three and possibly as many as five of the eurozone countries, they're 27, 17 using their currency, go off their currency and go back to their own currency because they have no choice. Austerity will cause the government ruling elite to be thrown out. There will be major, major riots in the Slovakia, Greece, Ireland, not in England. They're so conservative that their dogs don't bark. So don't look at those people to do anything until someone, you know, downsizes them to such a degree in their lifestyle that they suddenly get aware that maybe they should be going to the streets and protesting. If the unions in England wanted to stop the madness, they could have a general strike of everything in the country. Get out of the European Union, go back to the pound, pay no debt to any bank, eliminate all the national debt that is financial, and they would become solvent again. But they won't do that because they have an utterly corrupt prime minister. He is a female version of Margaret Thatcher, and she was a female version of Ronald Reagan. And he's not sure what he was. And so that's what you have now. So I predict that gold and silver will go down over the next 1 to 2 years. But I also predict that when the bubble burst, gold could go to $3,000 to $5,000 an ounce, and silver will probably go to $200 an ounce. So I believe that you go just against what the Federal Reserve and the financial elite are telling us. I believe the dollar will lose its reserve currency, and we will lose anywhere from 15 to 30% of its value overnight. And I believe that people who are foolish enough to be buying houses, people who are foolish enough to have mortgages, people who have not adjusted their lifestyle and downsized will simply be wiped out. I believe that in the next 5 years, we will see a major transformation in America. I believe that we will have about upwards of 3,000 or more oases, some gated communities, parts of cities that will be idyllic. And I believe that we will have all the rest of America as a ghetto. And you know what happens when you have teenagers who have no hope, nothing to look forward to? Where do you think they're going to go? In the gangs. I believe that we're going to see about 5 to 8 million gang members in the next 10 years. And I believe that it won't be safe anywhere outside of a green zone. You'll see artificial values and property in those green zones, as you do in Manhattan. One of our employees wanted to see what I thought was of any value in an apartment. I saw an apartment that was about 14 feet long and 10 foot wide. They were asking $1,800 for it.
Ouch.
And they had a waiting list. So in those areas where a person wants to live, for whatever reason, unless they're subsidized, there's no way they can afford it. I believe that we will see an increase in the health industry and an enormous increase in services, jobs, but we're going to see probably the last major thrust of the multinational companies hiring PhDs and engineers and tech people from India and South Korea and Taiwan to come to the United States, all legal, and take away all these jobs they thought, I've been here 18 years, making $180,000 a year, I know how to do everything, and that person's going to be gone because someone's going to get $50,000 with no benefits to take their place. I see no positive outcome anywhere in the United States for the average American who's unaware or chooses to be unaware. They're fully aware of what Rush Limbaugh and John Hannity and Lawrence O'Donnell and all these other talking heads say. They're completely disconnected from the reality of their own life. But this all is without considering environmental impacts. You've heard me say repeatedly over the last 7 years that the water's coming, Antarctica's melting, Greenland's melting, our glaciers are melting, and we're unaware of any precautionary measures to protect the people, 56 million Americans living within a few miles of the coastal areas. So now's the time to make the choices and changes in your life where you can do so without pressure, without hecticness, without hurrying and scurrying, because everything will be changing for the worst, unless you are a very wealthy person, or unless you are in a oasis, then there's no happy outcome to this story. I wished I could tell you otherwise, but that's one of the reasons gold and silver are down and will probably go down more, because they must keep gold and silver down, because they have to keep the idea that the dollar is strong and solid, our economy is growing. It is not. When they talk about employment, they exclude completely people who are so frustrated and so depressed they stop looking for work. That's over 6 million people. The people working just a few hours a week are considered employed. The people working a few hours a week at minimum wage are considered employed. The people who are getting jobs principally in service industries, bartenders and boxers at Walmart. So they can't even be honest at any level ever about anything in any state, federal, local government. They're all corrupt. So they have to tell you that we have a 7% unemployment rate. No, it is 23%. And as long as you don't tell people the truth, then you can continue to rule and have power over them through your lies, manipulation, and the people's ignorance or indifference. Does that answer your question?
Incredibly insightful. Thank you, Gary, as always.
Thank you, Paula from Florida. I look at the clock and we're out of time. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I'm sorry I don't have time. Our whole line board is lit here. I'm looking over here all the calls. I will get to you on programs this week, so please listen in, and thank you all for listening.